This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your business, tech, or creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start achieving today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. And by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best heated clothing. Powered by rechargeable batteries, it's the perfect way to stay warm. Save 15% off your order when you go to action-heat.com/TMS. That's action-heat.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, when food places take a dive.
Lobsters like Pepsi.
The Irish are hard up to find a solution.
Pizza drugs daddy.
Chipotle says you can eat it now.
Tom's Tech Time.
A visit from Jason and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The night before Christmas, an Oreo cookie's waiting for a special guest.
I'll just take a little rest.
Ho, 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 who's that kid with the Oreo cookies? Eating all the luscious chocolate, licking all the creamy middles, dunking all the crunchy cookies like he did when he was little. It's so hard to hide the kid inside with Christmas and O-R-E-O. Nabisco.
Business is slower than a drunk turtle, so I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Whoop, that's the wrong button. Hold on. Here you go.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Legacy Podcast, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Stream. It is TMS for Wednesday, December 6th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
How was your dental visit today? Was the dentist?
It wasn't a dental visit.
Oh,
no,
I had it in my head. You said dentist for some reason. Why did I think that?
Yeah, no, if you look back in my text, it clearly says eye appointment, which means that I'm probably not the only one who should have an eye appointment.
Yeah, maybe. I need to have a cognition appointment somewhere if I get that going.
Exactly.
Is that why you're wearing glasses today?
That's why I'm wearing glasses. I took out my contact lens yesterday because a little bit of discomfort and displeasantness.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I've got to learn to quit rubbing feces in my eyes. That's the whole problem. It's like, we talked about our strange addictions yesterday.
Yeah, Brian with his finger poop. I get it. So wait a minute. So you had this before one time.
I did. January.
Conjunctivitis, right. So early this year.
Pink eye. That's pink eye.
I like that you've sandwiched the year with two cases of pink eye.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. Here's the good thing about having it so quickly. I still have plenty of eye drops from my previous prescription. I still have lots of Debryacin or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I even took it with me to the eye doctor and said, still have this. Should I use this? She's like, oh, yeah, you can use that. Not expired.
It doesn't
so
expire? All right. How long does it take? How long is too long?
It expires in May 2018. I looked at the little used before date.
You could be dropping those while you're watching Avengers Part 4, seeking the grunt gauntlet.
It's not Part 4, Scott. It's not Part 4.
The Space Gauntlet episode. Well, all right. So everything's fine. You just got to clear it
fine.
Up.
Just got to put drops in it for the next few days. And
all right. Did they say anything about susceptibility? Once you've had it once, it comes more easily or anything like that, or no?
You can be more prone to it, but it's less like you had it a year ago, so you're probably going to get it again. It's more like you're susceptible. You're prone to get it on the whole.
Got it.
On the whole.
On the whole. Ah, yeah.
You're prone to get it as a rule more frequently.
I think I know how you got it. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, I'd love to know.
I think it was just by looking at that car that Simon bought.
No kidding, right? He's out there working on it right now. Can I tell you? I did send photos of it to you, Scott, and I need to send it to I need to put them on the tadpole so people can see it. But
yeah. It's something else, man.
It is something else. Now, here's the cool thing.
Yeah.
Yesterday, came home from work, and it was light out. He started working on it. And I'm like, all right, he's working on it. This is great. This is terrific.
Yeah.
Now, I've told you all the things that are wrong with this vehicle.
Yeah.
He's working on putting a new car stereo in there.
So, okay. You had hoped. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. You're thinking, oh man, he's working on those brake pads. He's He's getting on that body. Obviously, the paint job needs some work. Nope. Priorities are right.
Like, yeah. It even needs, like, it needs oil. It needs brake pads. It needs all this thing. It needs the ragtop sealed up, yeah. Which I don't know why you'd want to put something valuable in there until maybe you get it so that people can't just reach in and you know, unlock your door.
Oh, right. The stereo's... Yeah, no, I didn't even think of that. Like, your ragtop needs to be fixed, man.
Right, exactly.
I'm showing the chat room the photo here.
You know,
the
rain and the snow and stuff, yeah.
Chat room's looking at the photo you sent me. It's the it's the most broad shot. And wow, that thing is... It's really something. It's
yeah.
I think that thing was probably stuck in some lot in Arizona for months or something, because look at that hood. So. I mean, that's the only explanation I could have. Is it murderer committed in there?
The lights and that back window and the...
Yeah. And what'd you say? I don't know if we want to say it on the air, but what did he pay for this? If you
don't want to say.
You don't want to say? All right. I'll just say this. It's more than maybe more than you should have paid there, Simon.
Right.
Simon says pay too much. Anyway, it's fun to look at that car and realize that you've now got that in your front yard. you have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's funny though. I mean, I can actually sit here and watch him working on it. He's actually doing something. I think it looks like he's trying to get the hood to close.
Oh, well, that's either good. A good sign or a terrible sign, because maybe it won't shut, you know? Maybe there's some kind of...
So many things that need to be fixed on that thing.
A couple of dead cats wedged in there.
It's really good for him. Like, he wants to get into this line of work with working on cars. He bought something that is going to be... It's like he bought a 9-month course at an auto school by buying that thing.
So this reminds me of a story when I was in high school, so younger than him, but I was probably 17. My dad was, this was the time, I told you about the California story where between the baseball game and Shogun, the TV broke and my dad had porn stuck on the TV and all that.
Yes.
And then the time I fell asleep. Yeah, and I fell asleep in the car and almost crashed and, you know, all that. So around that same time, one of the cars he brought back was like a pretty nondescript thing. It was like a Chevy Malibu or some kind of normalish car. And he pulls it in, parks it. And I remember going out in the garage to look at it, because usually it meant, what's my date car this week? And it's that car.
Oh, right, because you'd get the privilege of getting to use that car for dates, as long as your date didn't throw up in it. Or
sure, as long as we took care of it outside of the Yugo. Yeah, the Yugo's wheel came off. But other than that, everything else seemed to be okay. So we go into this car, and I can't believe I've never told this story. It's one of the weirdest things that ever happened to me. If you go through the driver's side, you notice right away that there is no window on the driver's side. It's gone.
Okay.
And there's no real explanation as to why. And I'm learning this as I go. I'm like, oh, well, there's no window here. And Dad's like, yep. And then I notice that there is the seat on the driver's side is not the same color as the seats in the other side or the rest of the car. Like a really dark maroon. But then I notice, I'm like, oh, well, they just put a different seat in here. Then I noticed the seat, as you go down the seat, starts to fade into the color that is what the other colors are. And I'm like, is this like a stain? Like, what is this? Yeah. I get in further, and I see that there is a hole about the size of, I don't know, like that.
Like a quarter?
Yeah, like a quarter, maybe a little smaller. Mm-hmm. On the opposite, so if you were where your head is, and you just look at the opposite and down toward the speaker of the passenger side, there's a hole that big directly there, like direct eyesight.
And okay. through the wall of the car, the panel. Okay.
Yeah. And so I then get out and I look at the outside and I see there's like a dimple out there where that hole was on the other side. There's like a dimple on the paint.
Oh, man, like I'm thinking bullet.
Yeah, obviously. You're starting to get on the track here. So it suddenly dawns on me and I go, oh my gosh, somebody was like straight up assassinated in this car.
No kidding.
Somebody had been driving it. Somebody had walked up to them. This was some California thing. Gun to the back of their head, shot them, went through the seat, went through the thing, and this discoloration was still bloodstain from the thing.
Oh, and wow. It wasn't like the discoloration was like bleaching out the blood. Like
straight up, like real weird. And the floor kind of had a lot of it in it and that sort of stuff. Now, my first thought was, how do we even have this? Shouldn't this be in some evidence locker storage?
Exhibit A?
Yeah. Shouldn't this be in a storage room someplace? And my dad's like, ah, nah, when they're done with the case, you know, it was a closed, shut and closed thing. This thing went for real cheap, real cheap. And I'm like, yeah, it's a freaking murder happened in it, Dan. So he didn't seem to be as bothered by it. So he was like, well, don't worry about it. By the time your date comes around, because I'm asking about my date, it was like homecoming or something. Right, don't worry, right. I'll have this all worked out by then. Here's what his idea of having it worked out by then was. Still no window. Okay. Uh-huh. So whatever had been shattered is not there anymore. He right. did replace the upholstery on the chair. So thanks for that. So there was no more.
Didn't just give you like a seat cover.
No, it wasn't blood chair anymore. Although it was still blood floor, but nobody would notice that in his estimation. God. And then the bullet hole on the other side, he just had a little cotton stuffed in there.
I was going to ask you like a rag or something stuffed in the hole.
Just a little tiny piece of cotton in there or something like that.
Block that hole. Just made a noise. It'll probably end up on a mashup. Block that hole.
Right. Like the whole thing was really weird. I can't believe I haven't told the story before because it kind of haunted me. And then we went out and I had friends in the back, me in the front. And the whole time all I could think of murder car, murder car, murder car, mm-hmm. murder car. And right. nobody else knew. I didn't tell my friends. They didn't know. I didn't tell the girl I took, but I just felt haunted the entire damn date. So thanks, Dad. That was a great memory. And I'll never forget it. All right. Christy. This is how Christy starts.
Christine.
Oh, yeah. No, Christy is how, that's when a runaway gubernatorial incumbent from New Jersey runs people down for no reason. That's called Christy.
Right.
Let's talk about this. We're always talking about how restaurants seem to go away, the ones we grew up with. I talked mm-hmm. about how an Applebee's near us took a dump and went away.
Did I ask you if you had Shakey's Pizza, by the way?
When we were growing up, yes. I haven't seen one in decades, though.
You know where there is one? And here's where we need to go next November.
Okay.
It's north of the highway, north of BlizzCon, north of the Anaheim Convention Center.
Oh.
So if you keep going north past Disneyland, over the highway, on the other side of the highway is a Shakey's Pizza. So next year, you, me, Kim,
okay.
Kristen,
I'm in.
The kids.
I'm in.
We're getting Shakey's Pizza, man.
I'm in. I thought they were gone. I assumed.
I thought so, too. So that's why I was so surprised.
It's like one of those Blockbusters where some old lady still owns one or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I'm not changing the name. We've got brand recognition.
Brand recognition.
Bless my son to meth addict, so he's really shaky.
Nice. It is California. Everett E. Morris sent us a tweet. I love that name. Right, cool. Everett E. Morris.
Everett E. Morris.
Please stand and state your feelings. He says this. Hey, Scott Johnson in Coverville. I found this link. You talked about restaurants serving unrelated items. There are a few here. Seemed up your alley, as it were. So this is not defunct restaurants. This is places that shouldn't be serving the stuff that they serve. So we've always said, don't get the chili at Wendy's. Don't get the taco or no, don't get the burger at Del Taco. What was another example? Like, seems like we had others.
Don't get the salad. Oh, you said that the salad at Wendy's, the taco salad at Wendy's.
No, the chili, the taco salads are. Oh, well, actually now we know not to get the taco salad. You're right. It's a right. combination of those things, but the chili is the main culprit there. What else? I can't think of anything else. I know we had others, but, here's a few for you. All right.
Okay. All right.
Howard Johnson's. You ever been to one?
I think I have.
Yeah.
Sometime during travel, or I'm just remembering that episode of Mad Men where Don Draper's wife ran away, or girlfriend, or whatever.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an episode where they went to a Howard Johnson's and while he was getting the check, she took off?
Yeah. I do remember that.
Anyway.
Okay, wait a minute.
I think we still have them. There's a Howard Johnson's on Federal and I-70.
Let's see. Where is this? Oh, you know what? I do have this wrong. So his tweet makes it sound like these are all about serving unrelated items, but these are places that have gone to poop.
Yeah, this is defunct restaurant chains.
All right, so Howard Johnson's is gone, I think. There aren't any more of those.
There's only one Howard Johnson still in business, and I wonder if that's the one on I-70 Federal or if that's no longer Howard Johnson's.
I don't know. We used to have one downtown. That's gone now.
Yeah.
We got here Sambo's. I don't remember Sambo's pancakes.
I remember Sambo's. It was a breakfast place, a pancake place right there, and it was named after the very racist story of Little Black Sambo.
Yeah, and he was they had a mascot and everything, right? Like a little.
They had a mascot and everything, and I had, boy, growing up, So I went to one in California. My grandparents took me, and they bought me a little stuffed tiger, and I had that thing for years.
Really?
For years that thing was always on my bed, that little stuffed Sambo tiger.
Oh, that's adorable. I like that. Well, Sambo's is gone. They sold most of their locations to Denny's, so you still have a the ghost of Sambo still haunts at Denny's occasionally. You got Henry Rogers Roasters, or Kenny Rogers Roasters, not Henry.
Good old Henry Rogers.
The K looked like an H for a minute. They went away. They were sold off to Nathan's in 98. However, the chain was immortalized in a classic episode of the sitcom Seinfeld, as many may remember. The food was popular, but they were never able to break into the main market they were trying to compete in. So there's that.
That's funny. I remember that episode very well.
Yeah. Did you know that
Newman was a big fan of Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Yeah. He
and Kramer lived above it, and the smoke would come into his.
Yeah, it was the lights.
Is that the deal?
It was
the lights. That's right. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
Kenny. Yeah. He kept yelling, Kenny, and they were always craving it. And at some point, they were. What was the deal? Oh, Newman couldn't eat broccoli, and he spat it out and yelled vile weed. It's a good episode. It's good stuff.
Right.
Mini Pearl's chicken. Did you know that Mini Pearl made a chicken thing? Yeah.
No, did the chicken come with little tags on it?
Every one of them had a hat and a tag.
A tag, yeah.
You only get it at the Grand Ole Opry.
Like, what a funny, now that we think about it, right? Now that we look back, it's like, what the hell? Like, my shtick is that I'm always going to wear a hat that has a tag still on it.
Yep. Yep. It's a dumb shtick. Put that shtick away, I would say.
That's right.
The Southern California All-American Burger Chain was a thing. It was called the All-American Burger Chain. It was featured in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It was mostly a regional thing, but the final West Coast location closed in 2010, and they are gone.
Wow. I thought it was made up for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
No shirt, no shoes, no dice.
Yeah, because they're naked in there, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the thing?
Well, shirtless.
Let's see. White Tower hamburgers. So don't get them confused with White Castle, because here's how that worked. White Castle opened in 1921. That's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Became the first popular fast food chain. As it is prone to happen in business, numerous intimidators quickly opened. One of those was known as White Tower, opened by John E. Sachs and his son Thomas. Copied White Castle's menu, style, advertising, and I presume terrible burgers. They're terrible. They're not good.
Have you eaten They really are. Yeah. They're... Ugh. I mean, I guess if you're drunk, I guess. I don't know. It's like,
even then,
it just doesn't feel like it's like a loose meat sandwich is what it is.
It's so bad. I went there with Kim in Vegas, and it disappointed us very highly. It's been a while since I'd had one, and I'd kind of forgotten. Number 7 is close to my heart. I used to work here. Chi-Chi's. Spanish for boobs.
Right?
Let's see. Launched in the 70s by ex-NFL star Max McGee. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Rudimentary menu of Mexican-style food in many American towns. Let's see. Chi-Chi's began to die out.
Killed by a hepatitis outbreak in 2003.
Yeah. I mean, not that I contributed to that hepatitis outbreak in the late 80s, but I can tell you that there are things that happened in that kitchen I will never forget.
Hepatitis Chi
is
what it was. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Hey, there's hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and hepatitis Chi.
What kind of hepatitis do you get when you pick a steak up off the floor and put it back on the grill? What does that give you? What kind of hepatitis is that? That probably gives you a red pink eye, or like you got now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, exactly. Thanks. That's probably how I got it.
I'm going to skip ahead here.
Now the hood is completely off the automobile.
Oh. Whoa, he's going all in.
The hood is actually sitting on the grass now.
Okay, so that probably means engine work, right? He's gonna
probably. Okay. Probably. I'm just waiting. You know, we're not far from this thing being up on cinder blocks and us having like a
having the police
a toilet sitting in our front lawn next to it. We're not far, Scott.
A half broken toilet laying there.
Right.
Oh, hi, honey. Exactly. Gosh, scared the crap out of me. My wife just snuck behind me. Exactly. What are you doing? Yeah. Oh, you're cleaning. All right, great. Someone needs to. Bennigan's, final one I'm going to tell you about. I remember this because you get the Monte Cristo there, you know?
The Monte Cristo is the best thing. Like it was the worst thing for you, but...
it was a deep fried sandwich, wasn't it?
It was like a big club sandwich deep fried.
It's
served with powdered sugar and jelly.
It's such a bad idea. Who thought that was a bad idea?
I don't know.
Okay, two final things. Real quick here.
Yes.
Got an email last night that somebody was telling me to back off the flat earthers.
Ooh.
Saying in the email that I would be shocked, quote, to know how many there were around the globe. Now, I want you to think about that just for a second. Now, I realize that that's kind of a common meme tropey thing, because at some point some group of flat earthers talked about meetings around the globe and how they're growing every day, and they didn't realize the irony of what they said. So it's what I'm saying is it's entirely possible this guy's just playing with me. Okay.
Totally.
But I'd like to think he meant it. So I'm going to keep it that way in my head, that he actually meant to say that I would be shocked at how many flat earthers there are around the globe.
Right. I think that's hilarious.
The globe.
Right, listen to this. Oh, did she stop purring?
Yeah.
She's still purring.
I can't hear it. You have to squeeze it out of her.
Yeah, squeeze it out of her.
Yeah, you might get more than you bargained for. Don't do that.
Yeah. But the fact that he used that phrasing, I'd say he's
You think he's pulling my chain?
I think so.
Man, bums me out. I kind of wish he was real, but you're probably right. Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna believe what you believe. Hey, you know what time it is? Look at this, everybody. I'm gonna do this. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now for a little Stump Dunaway, and it's brought to you by nothing. There's nothing brought to you by
nothing.
Nothing.
I brought to you by Dr. Glasscock's going away party last night.
Oh, what happened to Dr. Glasscock? How come he's retiring.
38 right. years, yeah.
Right. So you got the lady now. Now it's the lady.
No, I'm not going back to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Hold on. Sorry. We got a thing happening. Okay.
God.
Sorry. Brian Dunaway, you there?
I am. Scott, can you hear me, Scott?
I can. You sound great. How are you? Oh, jeez.
Doing great.
It's happening again. Sorry. There's no way for me to take calls without this happening. So hello.
Is that Skype or is that Discord?
That's Skype. It's Skype and its inability to turn its sound off. It doesn't work. No. It doesn't
this
freaking
is how we're
work.
Getting a contestant, Brian Dunaway. We've got you. We've got you in Discord.
Yeah, we're just.
We need to fix it so we can get the calls with Discord.
Oh my lord! It happened again. I agree. I mean, here's the thing: we can take Discord people, but then it shuts down the whole ease of someone just grabbing their phone and dialing a number. You know what I mean? Like, lord, who did that again? Oh my gosh! Okay, we got one. I'm taking this one. This is just happening now. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, it's Mike.
Oh, hey, Mike. What's going on,
Hi, Mike?
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Mike, yourself?
Mike, where are you from? Where you live?
Downers Grove, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, Illinois. Illinois is great. There's all sorts of stuff there, like Chicago and Peoria. Yeah. And
cold weather.
Yeah, cold weather, sure. And the windy, you got the windy city, and then in the summer it's hot as hell, and then you got all that crime. You got all kinds of stuff going on there. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm about a half hour away from the city, so.
All right, well, be careful, all right?
I try.
If the rumors are true, it's just a hellscape, but I don't believe the rumors. I think it's a great town. I've been there. All right, hey, let's get to it here.
Chicago.
Why don't we explain how this works to our fine participant, Mike, there, Brian Ibbett. How's it work?
Will do. So, Mike, we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment, and hopefully the wind... from the windy city doesn't blow the question away, but the answer to that question is going to be a number. Oh, see, there's the wind. It sounds like Brian just broke it.
I just stuck it in my... Anyway.
Yeah.
Carry on. Yeah.
Brian Dunaway's going to give an answer. It's going to be a number. It's going to be wrong. Then we're going to come to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win what I forgot to do Monday, which is the carryover prize from last week, which is a... Horde side and Alliance side banner.
Horde side!
Cool. World of Warcraft banner. A copy of Dizzy Box 9's CD and bumper sticker. And we're adding to the prize pack today a copy of Lumini on Steam. It's a downloadable Steam game called Lumini. And a Jazzness t-shirt.
Wow.
Celebrating the latest album from Andrew Allen, Jazzness. And all the music from Nintendo.
This is a hell of a package.
Nintendo.
It is.
Must be
quite a package.
Must be a really hard topic. What's our topic?
Our topic today is Swarovski crystals.
Ooh. Oh, I love the crystals.
Do you know what that is? That's a thing you know
about?
Yeah,
my mom used to own a jewelry store, so yes, I am familiar.
Do you say jewelry or jewelry?
I got the right guy.
Did you say jewelry?
Jewelry.
Oh.
It is spelt with jewel, and then you put the R-Y at the end.
Got it.
Jewelry.
Jewelry. Got it. Makes sense. All right, well, here's your question. How many individual crystals are there in the Swarovski crystal star on top of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center? And I assume it's the current tree, and it probably varies year to year, but I don't know. He didn't give that information.
I believe this is the current tree. Yeah, I think it seems like they do a new star and a new New Year's Eve ball every year.
Hey, by the way, fun fact, when they're done with this tree every year, it's this huge tree, right? Like this gigantic thing. They don't just toss it. It doesn't end up in a landfill or on a boat ship somewhere else. They break it down, and it's used in, what's the name of the... I forgot the name of the agency.
It's used in Scott's toilet paper.
What's the thing that former President Carter's always involved in? Not HUD.
Habitat for Humanity.
Peanuts.
That's the one. Habitat for Humanity. Peanuts. Jeez. What is this? 1978? You're way up on your Carter knowledge. But they put the pulp and stuff from the tree in the building material they use for the habitat stuff, which is cool. Super cool.
That is way cool. Yeah. Now you can have termites all year long.
That's
termites
right.
And tinsel.
Yeah, termites and tinsel.
And tinsel.
It's my favorite Hallmark Channel Christmas movie.
One time, Jimmy Carter was out on a boat with one of his, you know, his guys, and
yeah, that's a good story.
This
reminds me of Film Sack.
Yeah, it's like Film Sack. All right, sorry, say that again. So he's got guys on a boat. That's as far as we got.
Right. Yeah, he's on a boat and he's got, you know, he's got his guards there, and so like these two eyes start approaching the boat in the water, and he's like he doesn't know what to do, so he takes the oar out and beats the crap out of it. It turns out it was a bunny rabbit. I've never seen a bunny rabbit swim.
What?
And I've never seen the president beat the crap out of one, but
wow,
that's the story.
I did not know this story was going to be told. This is incredible. Wow, you've broken it here, dude. Well done.
You want stuff. you don't go toe to toe for Carter knowledge for me.
No. I listen. He's a Southern man. You're one of those too. So you guys obviously know about each other. I get it, dude. I think former presidents go, dude kicks ass. I mean, he wasn't great when he was in office. You could make arguments as to why, but his post office stuff, Jimmy Carter's the man. That dude rocks it. I think he is everyone's favorite. Anyway,
even when he was he's a great speech guy too. Like the crisis of confidence, real well received.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
he's also
no,
not at the time, but it is now. People look back now and go, you know, he was kind of right. And here's the other thing, that dude just spends time with like a hammer up on top of crappy buildings making stuff for people who can't afford it, and he's in his 90s. So, hats off to that dude.
Scandal free, well, relatively scandal free, helping helping people. I hold Carter in high regard.
Yeah, I hold with him, bub. He's also weirdly cool looking for a guy who looks like he's melting. So there's that. Hey.
So there's crystals.
Not to open the ark.
Yeah.
So there's crystals in this tree thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the star on top of the tree.
Yeah.
Right. So are you going to give me a clue or do I have to just flat out?
I'll give you a clue. It is quite a few. There you go.
Thanks. Perfect. That's just great. Yeah. Thanks for your help, Scott.
You betcha.
Well, since it's a trivia question, I'm guessing it's probably going to be more than 10, because that would be some boring trivia there, my friend.
Exactly.
So,
not much sparkle to that.
Mm-hmm. No, and I guess most of the crystals I've seen are pretty darn small. Mm. So I would go with 30,287.
30,287. Brian Ibbett, is that the correct number?
30,287 is incorrect. Mike in Illinois, is the correct answer higher or lower than 30,287?
So they are small, but that just seems like an obscenely large amount of crystals.
Mm.
I'm going to say lower.
You're going to say lower. All right. This is some This is some important moments here for us, folks. Let's see if Mike wins this combined prize package.
We need a drum roll.
Yeah, we need some sort of drum roll. But instead, I'll just push this.
I like to eat!
Because it was handy. It was just right there. Let's see if he wins. Did he?
Congratulations.
He totally won.
You're a winner.
But it's not as low or as much or by much as you'd think. 25,000 crystals. Still quite a few. Weighs 550 pounds and is 9 feet tall. So it's a 9 foot tall crystalline 550 pound nightmare up there.
You're within 20%. Right. Dunaway,
nice.
Not bad.
Nice.
Yeah. It sounds like the kind of thing like a evil like mastermind would build for no reason. Like a big crystal.
Great guess, Brian.
Yeah. Good job, Brian. Well done. And well done, Mike. We'll have that stuff to you shortly. All you have to do, send an email to BrianIbbett@coverville@gmail.com and he will hook you up. Congratulations. And Brian Dunaway, well done. You've helped somebody in need today. Well done.
It's because of you that he's going to have an entertaining Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. All because of that prize package.
That's right.
It was going to be a really crappy Christmas, and now it's taking a turn.
That's right.
That's right, exactly.
It really, truly is a Christmas miracle. anything else you want to say before you go? You got anything to say to us? You want to say anything?
Oh, absolutely. We're taking a short break on Comics Coast to Coast this week. Uh-huh. If you don't listen to that, that's a webcomics weekly podcast I do. And next week, we'll be back with some Christmas special goodness.
Oh,
so we're going to watch He-Man's Christmas special and a few others, and we're going to discuss it with our friends on the show and Hammond Chamberlain.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So they celebrate Christmas in Eternia?
Yeah.
Eternia.
Yeah, I've seen this. It's terrible.
By the power of Grayskull.
Yeah. We have this on DVD.
I got the presents.
We have it on DVD, and it's horrible. It's horrible.
You have it on DVD?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
You have a DVD player?
The best part of it is how Skeletor finds the true meaning of Christmas at some point in this thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
you, son, get me a turkey.
Yeah. It's real bad. Super bad. And also, that is the worst Skeletor voice. I've never heard about her first one.
Look, you do the best Skeletor voice. I wasn't even going to try.
My Skeletor voice and my Lex Luthor from Super Friends is almost identical, though. So
they might have been the same.
It might have been the
same
guy.
They might have even been the same voice actor.
It very well could have been. Either way, yeah. Dunaway is the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Follow him there. He has things to say, and you should follow him. Thank you for being there. All right. Oh, before we do that, quick conversation about LinkedIn Learning. LinkedIn Learning. Whole show brought to you by them today. Absolutely now featuring Lynda content, lynda.com content, the leader in online learning for the last 20 years. You've heard of them. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for doers, for people who want to exceed and succeed. Why not exceed and succeed? Why not both? Maybe you want to develop a business plan, develop a growth marketed strategy, or design a website. Everything you need to accomplish and more is right there on LinkedIn Learning. Whether you're an entrepreneur or a freelancer, you need to be kind of a jack of all trades these days, ready for any challenge that might come your way. LinkedIn Learning is your Swiss Army knife of applicable skills. They have courses on everything from Adobe Photoshop, social media for small businesses, bootstrapping your business, design thinking, and more. Popular topics also include leadership, management, marketing, data science, and project management. There's something for all levels of experience, even doofuses like me. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to quickly find the right thing for you in a very extensive library. You're going to explore courses and recommendations from curators created just for you. And the project files and quizzes are all right there to help validate your learning. And you can learn at your own pace. Use your own method. Use whatever device you want. Get it anywhere in the world. Available worldwide for one monthly price. And here's all you have to do. We got a special deal for you. Go get a free 30-day trial with LinkedIn Learning today by visiting linkedinlearning.com/TMS. That's linkedinlearning.com/TMS. Do it today. It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Today, celebrating the birthdays of Harry Chapin, who sang Cat in the Cradle, and Billy Bragg, who you probably know for a song called A New England, which was covered very famously by Kirsty MacColl. It's amazing how these two artists, born years apart, and from different genres and even from different countries, how much they have in common, especially when you listen to them with covers. Billy Bragg and Harry Chapin today on Coverville. You're going to love it. Lots of good stuff on today's show, including a collaboration between Daryl McDaniels, the DMC of Run DMC, and Sarah McLachlan, the SMC from Canada.
That's great.
So well, it was SMC Christmas and DMC together.
Yeah. Christmas and Hollis and Save the Monkeys. Woo! Or however it goes.
In the arms of fly away from here.
My Adidas. Anyway. let's dive in. Got a little story for you here about lobster. Yeah. You like lobster?
Where? I love lobster.
Yeah,
love
okay. Lobster. Do you like red lobster?
Cheese.
Yeah.
I do like red lobster.
Okay.
I mean it's, you know, Cheddar Bay biscuits and overpriced seafood.
Yeah.
I'm actually more of a fan of Joe's Crab Shack.
Oh, really? Yeah, we like him too, except they had here at the local one, there's two here. Mm-hmm. The one that's closest to me had a outbreak of some hideous foodborne illness thing.
Like a salmonella or something.
Yeah, so I've not been there since then because ew. But yeah, I like Joe's. I like Joe's a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a little bit cheaper than Red Lobster and I don't know. I mean, I like the pot, the lobster pot boil, whatever they call that, where it's like lobster and corn and sausage and potatoes and all that stuff just dumped right on the table in front of you.
Yeah, I can't imagine how they got salmonella from that. It's just shocking to me.
Exactly. Yeah. How could that? At least they've stopped doing that dumb singing, like right in the middle of your meal, like they break out into the song from Greece.
Oh, did they quit doing that? They stopped doing that.
Doing that. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I haven't been to a restaurant in a while where they sing anything like birthdays or anything. It's been a long time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I don't like those things very much.
Well, as we found out, Chi-Chi's and Bennigan's are both gone, and they were a couple of the biggies.
That's true. Yeah. I did like the free non-alcoholic margaritas I could get there.
Mm,
so when I worked, when I worked there, I could just come in anytime and go to the bar, and they'd just give you one.
At Chi-Chi's when you were working there?
Yeah. It was kind of nice. And then I had this boss.
It's really just, here's what they're doing. They're pouring that sour, sweet and sour mix or sour mix into a glass with ice is what they're doing.
That's it. Yeah, and they put, it'd be a frosted glass with the salt on it and that.
Oh, nice.
That's all it is.
I wonder, that stuff is so, it's like hydraulic fluid. It's so sugary.
It's
and
not
bad.
Good. Yeah, it's not good. Syrupy. I agree. Yeah. It's like what dogs like about like antifreeze.
Right, exactly.
Totally. Like
same color and smell.
Yep. So check this out. They found a and one other thing. Red Lobster, the restaurant, is that's redundant. All lobsters are red, aren't they? By nature? Yeah. There's no other colors?
Well, when you boil them, they turn red.
Oh, are they not red when they're out?
Prior to that, they're like green and like a dark, almost like a forest green or a
Well, I mean, I've seen some crawling around, and they seem reddish, like maroonish. Am I not? Mm-hmm. Am I dumb? I must not be looking at them right. It seems like they're red to me.
Well, they're the boiled ones.
Well, ones that are walking, like moving.
No, you don't see a red. There's no red lobster. I don't think you'll see a red lobster walking. Because if it's red, it's
maybe I'm thinking of cartoons or something. Maybe it's cartoons.
Of. Sure. Yeah, I mean Sebastian.
Yeah.
Under the sea. Why am I red?
That's the one. Mr. Krabs is, no, he's not a lobster. He's a crab.
We almost had a Justin Tino moment there, Scott.
Yep. Some would say we did have one, but I'm going to say had one.
What kind of animal was Mr. Krabs?
Oh,
was he a lobster?
It's a cheetah. He's a cheetah.
Sebastian was a crab? I thought Sebastian was a lobster. Really?
He was a crab because he would go inside his shell. You're right. They're right.
Yeah.
No, but I'm with you. I thought he was lobster too. But he was red, and that's why it threw me. So wait, what? Now we got to find out. It's going to drive me nuts. What color is a lobster before being cooked? Okay, here we go. They might be bright red when they hit your dinner table, but they are usually brown, olive green, or gray when they're alive. So why is it when I've seen them crawling around in a tank at a restaurant where you get to pick your lobster and then go, why are they sometimes red like that?
They shouldn't be. They should be blue, green, dark green, Like if you look at, if you Google search,
yeah,
lobster images,
yeah. There's, I mean, some, okay,
there's like a little bit of reddish brown on this one, but it's clearly like a, like the ones that are bright red in the photos you're looking at,
yeah,
are the cooked ones.
Uncooked lobster. Okay, Chad, we're going to look at a couple of these and share them on screen here for you.
Okay.
So here is the uncooked. Oh yeah, see, they're not red really at all. So I mean, some are kind of ish.
They've got like a little red tinge on the edges, claws and stuff like that, but
yeah, that brown is more like a, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, but in my head it was more red in my memory. Yeah. So what Red Lobster is really saying is cooked lobster is what they should be called.
Right, yes, exactly.
All right. Oh, I do love lobster. Like a lobster bisque. Oh, man.
Yes. Yeah, or lobster mac and cheese. Or yeah.
Oh, that sounds so good right now. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, this Canadian fisherman found a lobster with a Pepsi logo on it. somebody didn't paint it on there. It grew into a can. So it's throwing all kinds of shade on, like, you know, how we treat our oceans and how much trash is out there and all that other stuff. But
now, why is there no photo of this thing on the Newsweek page that you linked to? Like,
there is one. I saw it earlier. Anyway, hold on, let me check.
Do I need to turn off?
It might. Oh, you know what? You got to scroll down. If you go down to keep up with the story and more by subscribing now, down by the CBS News Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Thing, there's like a little blue glove finger looking at the claw. That's the Pepsi logo embedded in its claw. Do you not see that?
I'm not seeing that.
Let's, oh, weird, here. It's coming right up from,
yeah, me. No, underneath that is do I have to turn on flash?
Oh, that might be it. I hate flash, dude.
I do too.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Chrome has got the right idea, getting rid of flash.
So do you guys see that in the chat? It looks like it's like part of his claw. And they think it was like it grew into whatever that is. Now, from what I can tell, that looks like a photo of a can, not just like the metal of a can. So I think what happened there is advertising or paper or something when it was young got there, it laid on it. I don't know how that worked. That's the current theory, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, quit throwing your shit in the ocean. That's the point.
Funny, because I was gonna say not from a metal can, but that's clearly from a metal can. That's almost like, you know what it looks like, because you actually see the top of the can,
right?
That looks like it's like a magazine advertisement or something,
yeah, like
where they show the can, because
like
otherwise you wouldn't get that 3D edge of the can and everything on
yeah
top.
Yeah, it's some kind of ad or something, I'm sure. Question is, how did it get there? And the answer is, humans are pigs and we leave too much shit in the ocean.
The question is, how does it taste?
Yeah, how was that lobster? I got a good Irish story. I brought you an Irish story so we could do dumb voices.
Good.
Yeah.
Get him, Daddy.
Yeah, get him, Daddy. He done shit in the bathroom.
He's peeing on the floor.
Oh no! He done.
Now that dog's peeing on the floor.
Get the guns, Tommy. Anyway, Irish villagers are complaining that a Viagra plant fumes. So they have a Viagra plant in this Irish village.
Mm-hmm.
Are giving,
on plants?
It says they're giving all the men and dogs boners.
Nice.
I love
nice.
This. Pharmaceutical firm Pfizer has produced the erectile dysfunction drug in Ringsakitty Cork. That's somewhere in Ireland. Ringsakitty.
I love the name. Ringsakitty.
Ringsakitty. What's the CO for? CO period Cork.
County.
Oh, is it a county?
Yeah, county. Cork is a city.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coe County. I think that's how they.
If they have to write their address, you got to make sure to put a cork in it at the end. See what I did there with the cork?
Right. Sure.
Villagers claim that Ringsakitty proximity to the plant is and its love fumes have been giving local men and even their canine friends enormous sexual powers. Mrs. O'Grady's mother, Sadie, said that living in Ringsakitty is a blessing for men who suffer problems in that department. Adding that there is something in the air. The widower added, I'm a flirtatious woman. A lot of us are. you just have to have a spank, that's all. There's a
spark,
lovely man.
Spark, Scott.
What'd I say?
Spank. Oh.
Words matter in this case.
That little line.
Yeah, spank, spark.
You just have to have a spank, that's all.
That's all you
a
need.
Spank. There's all you got to do and the problem solves itself.
There's a lovely man down the road just waiting for
spank
me.
Spank him, Daddy.
Anyway, they say that there's it's just a myth and that that's not true. Pfizer said that there are no hard feelings. Oh, come on.
Really? Oh, they did not say come that. On.
This whole article makes me worry. Makes me worry a little bit. Our manufacturing process has always been highly sophisticated as well as highly regulated. Nevertheless, residents remain scared, stiff, that something more sinister is going on. Anyway, they think maybe Viagra got into the water supply. There's a lot of stuff going on, but Pfizer says they're not in trouble. So.
Viagra Woody not be reached for content or a comment.
Margo Woody?
I said Viagra Woody not.
Oh.
Woody.
He said Margo Woody.
Margo Woody. I don't know why. Not reachable for comment either.
No. She hasn't been seen for a while. And finally. Oh, I missed this Chipotle deal.
Oh, yeah.
This headline doesn't make any sense to me. It says, Chipotle says its queso is edible now and plans to use it for nachos. All right. Whatever.
Why? Now?
Yeah, that's why I'm perplexed.
Edible now.
Like it wasn't before. It's super weird.
Right.
And it says this, apparently willing to die on a hill of liquefied cheese and jalapenos, burrito chain Chipotle is changing its queso recipe a few months after its mediocre launch and appears to be plotting to use the reformulated dip to introduce nachos to its menu. As noticed by Business Insider reporter, crack reporter Kate Taylor, who paid a visit to Chipotle's Manhattan Test Kitchen. They have a test kitchen in Manhattan. That's cool.
Nice. I've been to the Qdoba Test Kitchen. It was really good.
Oh, yeah? Where's that at? Is that near?
Here in Broomfield.
Oh, that's cool.
North of Arvada. Yeah, I was on the public testing realm. I was on the PTR for Qdoba. And I get to try like four or five different new dishes they were planning on coming out with, little samples. And then I had to rate them and say what I liked about them and what I didn't like about them, et cetera.
Well, very nice. They said that the stuff they had out was grainy.
Yeah, like a crime against cheese is what people were calling it. So I guess now they're saying, we fixed it.
Yeah.
We fixed it. All of a sudden, I've got the Irish accent.
It's
Chipotle.
All fixed. Don't worry about our queso now. It'll be fine. You just smear it all over your body. It says here, after the dip was rolled out, on Chipotle locations, it seemed that many Americans agreed with the assessment, some declaring it pretty bland and a crime against cheese. So they're redoing it. So now,
wow, enjoy. Good. They needed to, apparently.
Final food story. We've had a few today. Eating pizza while driving leads to drug charges. 40-year-old Belleville man. This is on thehwig.com.
The Whig.
The Whig.
Whig, Brian.
Let's assume this is something over there in Britain. It says this guy's erratic driving on Saturday evening in Kensington was said to be due to eating pizza while driving, got himself and his 32-year-old passenger, a man from Picton, coming up tonight on the Hallmark Channel.
A man from Picton.
It's a great name for anything. Anyway,
totally is, yes.
Got arrested on other charges. The pair were caught with drugs in their vehicle after police conducted a traffic stop. Oh, this reminds me. So basically, this is one of those things where they're like, hey, why are you swerving all over the place? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's because we're eating pizza. And then they find a bunch of drugs.
Right.
So they screwed up.
The guy with the guy that we talked about a few days ago who was doing something innocuous.
Yeah, the dude I worked
swapped
with.
Swapped people. Right.
Yeah.
Right, that's what it was.
And had a body in the car. And
yes.
Somebody out there found the article. I want to say this was Rob from Chicago.
Oh, really?
I can't remember who. Let me see if I can find it real quick for you here. This is great. Okay, here it is. February 18th, 1999. A retired school teacher whose body was found in the trunk of his car of his roommate was driving, died from being hit in the back of his head. An autopsy is found. The victim identified as Monroe County, New York authorities as James Dom, age 51, of the affluent Pittsburgh suburb outside Rochester, is believed to have suffered a fatal trauma at least a week ago. And then it goes on to say, let's see, detectives on Monday found the man upstairs, leading them to believe that Don was killed inside the home, which police said had been sharing the past 3 months with Michael M. Bradley, age 38. This was the guy. Michael Bradley, the guy that peed all over our bathroom and stuff before he got fired. Discoveries of his body, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and I got this part wrong. So I thought it was in Vegas they found his body. Mm-hmm. I was sure that that was what I remember, but I was wrong. The discovery of Dom's body around 6 p.m. Tuesday marked a second homicide investigation. Let's see. The body of... Hold on. Okay, Metro Police were in the process of extraditing David Dunkel, 27, from a northern Utah jail in Clark County on murder and robbery charges. Here it is. He was arrested. Oh, no, this might be a different person. Oh, now I'm confused. Maybe it was still Vegas. Well, anyway, this is the one. This is the guy.
Okay.
Hold on. Okay, yeah, here it is. Police said it determines if someone is killed. Okay, Dom's missing on a suspicious. Okay, maybe I do have it right. Now I'm confused. It doesn't say where he was picked up. I don't know why I thought it was Vegas, but it's somewhere out west they found
it. It feels like something that would happen in Vegas.
Doesn't it, though? It totally does.
Yeah, totally.
You're not wrong. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom Merritt will be here doing the tech time business, and then we're going to have a little special visit from Jason Howell. Nicole's out today. I got some doctor stuff she's doing, but Jason will be stepping in, talking about his rad new Kickstarter, old friend of the program. You guys all know him from the Twit days of still at Twit, and then before that was part of the Buzz Out Loud team with Tom and Veronica and Molly and all them. He's great. We love him. Can't wait to talk to him, so he'll be on a little bit later. Before that, though, Brian will play a song. What do you got?
Yeah, I've got a band from the UK called Dark Link Light. Brand new album is called Alternices. These guys have kind of a electronica sound, but with some acoustic elements in it, and really, really like it. Influenced by David Bowie, Peter Gabriel, stuff like that. And I just really, really dig this new album. They're originally from Hull in North England. Now they're all based in London. And Peter Reeve and John Cox are the two guys behind this band. Good stuff. The new album is called Alternatuses. The band is called Dark Link Light. Here's the song, Snowblind.
Snowblind.
guys, let's talk about Action Heat real quick. This episode's brought to you by Action Heat. They make the world's best heated clothing. That's right, heated clothing powered by rechargeable batteries. It's freaking cold today. It's like 26 degrees Fahrenheit where I live. I could sure use myself some Action Heat today. It's the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid of winters. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your entire body. They included heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via these panels. Similar to what you get when like a heated car seat. You've had one of those? It works like that. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees if you so want. And are powered by a rechargeable low-voltage lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. This could be a great thing if you ever get stuck someplace. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Available in men's and women's styles. Heated products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. Oh, man. We got a special deal for our listeners today. 15% off your entire order. Just go to action-heat. That's action-heat.com/TMS and check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's action-heat.com/TMS and use the coupon code TMS at checkout to save 15%. Toasty, toasty warm.
Pack your pipe with Prince Albert, the national joy smoke. The bite's out and the pleasure's in. And now there's more tobacco in every tin.
I think it was because I was entering puberty.
The Morning Stream. How about a booby?
All right, we're back, everybody.
Was he entering?
He says he was entering puberty. I've never heard that pronunciation of puberty before, have you?
No, I haven't either. Puberty.
It was a documentary on Netflix, and I had to capture it, so here he is again.
I think it was because I was entering puberty.
What the hell, dude?
Puberty.
That guy couldn't be more wrong on that deal. I don't think that's accurate at all.
Perturbance. Perturbance in the force.
All right. Hey, what's going on? We're going to get Tom all up in this. He's still a Skype man, so we're going to do that with him.
Oh, really?
Well,
has
know.
Not embraced the new technology? Come on.
It's not that he hasn't embraced it. There it is. Bam, bam, bam. Let's do it. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, we're through. We've got it. We've made it. And here's his theme.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is none other than Tom Merritt.
Am I not supposed to use Skype?
No. I just
felt like you were calling me a Davy.
No. You are absolutely.
I was.
No, you're. No, this was not like an old 1920s term for a scoundrel. I wasn't doing that. However, I will say that this is mostly about Scott forgetting to tell people that we're using Discord for a lot of things, and I forgot to tell you.
So. I should install Discord then, I suppose.
Yeah, you might.
On this machine. I mean.
No rush for any of that, but this still works, obviously.
You're using video on Discord?
Yeah, and it works great. Brian sounds better. In fact, I got compliments yesterday. I didn't even tell Brian yet. I got like 3 or 4 emails going, dude, Brian sounds so good.
I saw stuff on Twitter, people commenting about how much better we sound.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, could be a thing, Tom.
Yeah.
Just saying.
All right.
We'll talk later. But anyway, hey, it's good to have you here. It's Tom's Tech Time. That is a time for us to discuss technology with Tom on this wonderful day of Daily Tech News Show, which I'm on later. Can't wait for. And feels like there's a lot of things going on. I'm wondering what the top story is to you so far.
Amazon, Google, and Apple.
Oh.
Those three old friends.
Yeah.
Just not getting along. The crazy hijinks they get into.
Yeah.
So yesterday, the continuing spat between Amazon and Google, which involves Amazon not selling Chromecasts or Nest products, which aren't even Google, they're Alphabet, the parent company, on Amazon, took another turn because Amazon was showing YouTube videos on the Amazon Echo Show. Then YouTube blocked them from doing that. So then Amazon took to just showing the web page that YouTube videos were on the Amazon Echo Show, which is kind of weird looking. And now YouTube has blocked them from doing that, which hilariously is what Google faced with the Google TV, back when they tried to put Hulu on the Google TV without Hulu's permission, and Hulu blocked them from showing the website version of Hulu based on the Google TV box. Anyway, it's, you know, what goes around comes around. They also announced that YouTube's app on Fire TV will stop working as of January 1st unless Amazon comes to the table. And essentially, Google's like, you won't sell our products in the store, and you won't let us, you won't enable Chromecast for your Amazon Prime Video apps. So screw you, you don't get to use YouTube, which seems to be shooting themselves in the foot a little. Meanwhile, before you react to that, today is finally the day that Apple and Amazon kiss and make up, as the Amazon Prime Video app has arrived on Apple TV.
Right. I was just gonna bring that up and say, isn't it ironic that the long feuding, like, we're never gonna put your app on our device deal, finally comes to a conclusion on the same day that YouTube's like, we're out, we're pulling out.
That is funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's, you know, it's bittersweet, because I do kind of like the run Amazon Prime on your iPad and then AirPlay it to your TV, to your Apple TV, because you get the on your iPad screen, you get all the X-ray stuff automatically.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and you can still do that.
You're watching the movie. Yeah, what's that?
You can totally still do that if you want.
Well, I can totally still do that, but now it's, I'm going to be tempted just to say,
I'll just open my copy of IMDb and look it all up manually.
Right, exactly.
No, yeah. I agree. Like, that's how I've gotten used to doing it when I'm in that scenario, but I'm happy that they're finally going to have a native app on there. It's dumb that they haven't. To have it on other devices and not that is always felt super weird to me. And I know they have their reasons, but what is it? What do you think it's going to take, given the fact that, you know, Bezos is in a pretty good position right now? That dude's like richest man in the world or something. Took over the Bill Gates spot sometime a couple of weeks ago or whatever it was. Pushed $7 billion. 50% of that holiday money went through freaking Amazon.com. Like, I feel like they're in a great position to negotiate things, but then again, so is Google. So what has to happen here to make the ecosystems jive again, do you think?
Sure. First of all, I like to point out things like this. Jeff Bezos' personal net worth has nothing to do with Amazon's ability to negotiate things. Zero. Well, maybe not zero. It's probably got some amount, but has very little to do with Amazon's ability to negotiate things. Amazon being very successful, which is one of the reasons that Bezos is so rich, does. And that is what is going on, is this is a game of chicken. Google's worth a lot of money, too. They got a lot of cash. They apparently think that the Fire TV YouTube audience is small enough that they can forego the ad revenue from that sector, which is, I think, a little bit of a taunt to Amazon, to say like, yeah, we know nobody watches Fire TV. You know, we don't even care about the ad revenue from the Fire TV audience. Okay.
Yeah.
So don't pretend like you're bigger than you are. This is Clash of the Titans here. And I'll be honest, I can't tell you where this is going to go on. If I had to put my money down, I'd guess it's just going to be a stalemate for a long time. Amazon plays hardball with these things. They're willing to wait it out. And I think probably YouTube can live without the Fire TV ad revenue as it is. So they'll probably hold out for a while, too.
The loser to me feels like Amazon in this case, or Amazon
users. No. The loser here is us.
Well, that's what I mean. People who would really like to have YouTube content on those devices that they have paid for and use and expect them to be there. I don't know. I think they're the ones.
This is not the way the web is supposed to work. The web is supposed to work where I put a thing on the web, anybody can view it anywhere. There's no reason I shouldn't be able to view YouTube on the Amazon Echo Show. On the Fire TV, it's Google's choice whether they want to make an app or not. But Amazon is bringing the Silk browser to its older versions of Fire TV. So there's a workaround. You can use the Silk browser on the older versions to get to YouTube, although apparently the browser isn't there on the most recent versions of Fire TV. We'll see if Google then tries to block the Silk browser from accessing YouTube, which, again, that's not the way it's supposed to work. So I really hate seeing this, because to me, it is a symptom of the fact that the companies that run the majority of content on the internet have finally gotten too big.
Yeah. I remember the heady days when Amazon just sold me some books and, you know, Google was this weird, ugly logo I'd go to once in a while.
Can't buy a Nest product on Amazon or at the Apple Store.
That's dumb.
Because of reasons.
Yeah, that's dumb. Isn't that dumb? I think that's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like also...
I mean, it'd be one thing if Apple stopped carrying Nest because they're saying, ah, it's just not a very good product. We don't like it. They're not carrying Nest because it doesn't work with HomeKit. So they're trying to pressure Google into using HomeKit. It'd be one thing if Amazon didn't carry Nest because it just wasn't selling well. They're not carrying Nest because they're in a dispute with Google. And granted, that's how competition works, you know, and I wouldn't take these levers away from them. But it's unfortunate that these companies have such large positions that they're willing to inconvenience the consumer in order to do this. Yeah. I feel like that means something's out of balance.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's on them. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking more about that today, and among other things, on the Daily Tech News Show at 2:30 Mountain Time.
Yeah, I'm going to explain that Bitcoin power issue you were tweeting about yesterday.
Oh, good. I can't wait, because there are a lot of people saying things like, oh, there's so much power being used by Bitcoin mining now, it's unsustainable. How can we build a currency when we don't have the resources to build it? And a lot of freaking out and stuff. And I knew that you, Tom Merritt, would come to the table with some level-headedness and some quality, knowledge, and we'll be able to put that thing to bed, or at least, you know, explain it.
Yeah. So check that out, dailytechnewsshow.com. Bitcoin uses a lot of power. No one really knows how much. So anyone telling you it's this is making a guess.
Yeah. You know what else uses a lot of power? Lights,
Skype,
my computer over here that's on all the time, Skype.
You know what? Here, let me give you the good one here. Like, the highest estimate of usage is Digiconomist. They're the ones that say Bitcoin uses 3.4 gigawatts of power. It's a couple of million homes worth of power, 2.8 million homes worth of power. The comparison is U.S. data centers. In the United States, used 70 billion kilowatt hours in 2014.
Wow.
Which is equivalent to 6.4 million American homes.
Wow. All right. I love these kind of things. I can't wait to talk about this.
Yeah.
I wonder how much, if I ever get a Bitcoin, whatever those are now, like a piece of a Bitcoin, I want to know how much damn power it's using. So it'll be fun. Philosophical stuff coming up later. Anything else you'd like to mention? Oh, we got your audiobook's out now, right? Audiobook version of your book?
Well, it is being recorded. I'm recording a little bit of it every week and posting it up on Patreon at patreon.com/acedetect.
That's it.
That's my writer Patreon. So if you're a patron, you're getting it as it comes out. And once it's all recorded, then I'll be putting it up on Audible.
Nice. You going to slip any like Easter eggs in there? Like, I don't know. Halfway through a paragraph, just go, or whatever. Are you gonna do any of that? Or
yes, those are called stumbles that I can go back and fix.
One man's stumble is another man's Easter egg.
Easter eggs. That's what they are.
Sure.
They're Easter eggs.
Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. TomMerritt.com. Daily Tech News Show. All that stuff. You know him. You love him. We'll talk to you later, man.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
See you.
All right. Oh, let's close that down before it makes more sound. Oh, actually, I need it up because we're going to...
I was going to say, it is Jason's not coming to be in Discord, is he?
Yeah, no, he's... crap. Wait. Okay, there we go. All right. Whoop. Now I see you again. There's some confusion today, everybody. Just relax, sit back, and set a spell as I bring in... Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, if you would. One, the only, the Jason Howell. Jason, what's going on?
Hello.
How's it going, you guys?
Oh,
how are you doing?
Gosh.
It's so nice to talk with you.
So good, man. I feel like we have never done this. It's because we haven't. We've never done this. We've never had you on.
I don't know what's going on. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Old friend of the program, of course. Thank been you. Around forever. It was you and Tom, Veronica, and Molly, who I announced in 2009 that I was taking Frog Pants full time. And I don't know, there's always a little piece of history hanging around Jason as a result. So a special spot in all of our hearts for Jason Howell. It's good to have you here.
And I'm honored to have that history with you and to have been there when you announced, because, I mean, look at where it's come over the years. It's just, it's awesome. I love a few things. I love lots of things.
Tell me the things you love. Okay, I'm excited.
Okay.
List them all for us.
That I love, and I'll say it again and again and again, is I love seeing good people get good things in their life. And you guys are good people. And when you made that announcement, like, I know for myself, like, that would be a really scary thing to do, to be like, you know what, this, I'm dedicating myself to this thing. I'm jumping in the pool. Right. I don't know if I can swim, but I'm going to try, dang it. Yeah. And if, you know, and we're just going to trust that everything's going to work out. And it's worked out so well for you guys.
Yeah.
And you're just such good people. You deserve it. So I'm so happy.
That's so nice of you to say that. Thank you.
Well, it's true.
Well, we're excited to have you on because I happen to be a fan of your music. And you say, and you say to yourself, wait a minute, I know Jason from Twit. I know Jason from the CNET days.
This is exactly what I'm saying to myself, Scott. I'm saying all those things that you're saying.
You're saying those in your head right now. And you're saying, you're saying, I thought he was just this really tall guy from Idaho. But no, there's more about that him than meets the eye. So tell me about your latest Kickstarter. What are you trying to do and how can people check it out?
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that. So I've written music under the name Yellow Gold for probably about 25, 26 years, somewhere around there. Basically back in high school, I got a little Tascam four track recorder. Me and my friend, we both got one, and we just started because in high school you get obsessed with things. We got obsessed with that. And so we each created our own fake bands. His was named The Fabulous Medicine Men and mine was named Yellow Gold. And we just started recording and it was almost like a competition. It was like, I'm going to, you know, spend my evening recording on this four track and getting to know it and everything. I got myself a guitar. I got myself a bass guitar. I'm just going to make stuff. No judgment, no whatever. It's going to suck, but I'm going to just do it.
Right.
And
sometimes that's what you got to do, even though you know it's going to be, you know, it might be bad, but you just have to go.
Absolutely. In the creative world, like there's nothing worse than like that voice in your head that tells you, oh, but don't do that because that's not going to turn out good. It's like, you know what? Just do it. And, you know, eventually stuff works out. Anyways, long story short, that's kind of how long I've been writing music. And with that similar mentality of just like, you know, sit down, write music. I enjoy it. I love it. It's a passion of mine. And over the years, I feel like I've gotten better at the technical side of things. And so, you know, now we're here where I have this will be the third album. It's called Fever Dreamer. And it's the third kind of publicly facing Yellow Gold album. I've got a lot more, but you don't want to hear them. Pretty much guaranteed. They're nothing like this. But I'm enjoying writing the music. I'm enjoying producing it. I would do it no matter what, whether there was a public release of it or not. I do it because it satisfies me and it makes me happy to live in that creative world. And it just so happens that other people have told me, hey, I want to listen to it too. And the last time I did the Kickstarter with Everyone, which was a few years back, Scott, you were involved in that. You did some amazing art for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to put that on shirts and in the CD liner and all that kind of stuff. When I did that Kickstarter, it went amazingly well. Like honestly, it went way better than I ever imagined it to have gone. And I'm not entirely sure why or how it had that pickup, but it did. And I'm not complaining at all because it was amazing. I was able to put the album out on CD. I was able to master, the previous album, The Mellower, and put that out on CD. It was just kind of a dream come true. So after spending 3 years on material for Fever Dreamer, you know, late at night while the kids are in bed and everybody's asleep, that's about the only free time I have to create, or so I thought. You know, it took a long time. It took me 3 years. And finally, I was like, you know what? I just have to pull the trigger on this. Like, I could keep putting this off again and again and again, but I just need to jump. So here we are with a Kickstarter for Fever Dreamer to try and fund the mastering of that and get it released on that dying media format called Compact Discs.
Compact Discs. That's right. A real throwback, compact right? Discs. Yeah. Brian, you love those. Well, I'm excited for two reasons. At some point, Brian will probably get a track or two that we can play on the show, which we look forward to.
Awesome.
We always like playing indie music on here. But also, I want people to go check it out and check out the video, see if this is something you want to support. I recommend you do. And you do that by going to... All I had to do was Google Yellow Gold, and it gave me the latest Kickstarter. But your traction may vary. Fever Dreamer. Are there any other links people could use to get there quicker or more conveniently?
Well, my site is yellowgoldmusic.com. If you go there, or if you do a Google search for Yellow Gold Kickstarter, you'll find it. I mean, Yellow Gold also happens to be a type of jewelry, you know. So, and there's also another artist named Yellow Gold Gustafer, or something like Gustafer Yellow Gold or something like that. So it might not be the easiest thing in the world to find because there are other things, but just do a search for like Jason Yellow Gold. You'll find it.
Yeah.
And there's a link on my site at yellowgoldmusic.com that takes you directly to the Kickstarter to to pitch in and participate. Do you want to listen to some music now?
Yeah, you have something handy there? Sure. I'd love to hear it.
Well, so I want to tell you about something that's got me incredibly inspired right now. And I've talked about it to death on Twit, and I can't stop because I haven't created in the way that I am right now since I was a kid. There's a piece of hardware called Aspire Studio. It's by a company called iZotope. Mm. And it's this little, oh man, and I don't have it in here. I wish I did, I'd show you. But it's basically, it's a digital 8-track recorder with a battery pack built into it, which the idea is that it's incredibly portable. You have an idea for a song. Like I get ideas every day, and I usually just blurt them into Evernote, transcribe what I think the bass sounds like in my head, and then the guitar and whatever, with the idea that somewhere down the line, I'll sit down at Pro Tools and I'll put it all together and actually make instrumentation and match it up. Well, the Spire Studio allows me to do this at any point. So in the half an hour leading up to the show, I wrote a song with the Spire Studio. If you go to my Twitter account, the top post is the song that I put together. And basically, I'm doing a song a day challenge right now throughout the Kickstarter. So every day I'm writing a song and I'm publishing it to my SoundCloud and also to Twitter. So you see the link there. This wouldn't be a track on the album, but I've got a project where basically four of the best tracks from this project will also be included on the $20 level and up in the Fever Dreamer Kickstarter when I release a full EP. So I'm going to take the four best songs from this Song a Day challenge, produce them entirely with my full setup rig, and then release a free EP. And those who are on $20 or above get that included with the Fever Dreamer.
Oh, that's super cool. So actually, if I click on this most recent one, here, I'm going to click this.
Palace. Literally wrote this in a half an hour, by the way, and recorded it entirely in a half an hour.
Palace of Concrete, it's called. I'm just going to play a taste of it.
Maybe start from like 30 seconds in.
All right, here we go. Let's.
it's a slow mover.
All right, we'll start right about here. This is all you on guitar and everything, right?
Yeah.
Touch the concrete, tough as it gets without being complete.
Oh man, this is great.
Very cool.
Thanks. All right, Brian, we gotta get some of these and play them on the show.
Yeah. Jason, let's talk offline, get you an email, and we can get a full song to play on the show during the middle segment.
Yeah, definitely got to do that.
Fantastic.
We would love to do that. All right. Well, I want people to go check it out. Again, yellowgoldmusic.com. We'll have links to everything you need. And I don't know. We like Jason, so we're biased, but I actually think his music's really good, even if I didn't know him. So I think you should just go play it.
Not to mention, Scott, you're involved.
Like, I am.
We got your art coming in on this project, too, so you're a piece of this project.
That's right.
That's right.
When you go to the Kickstarter, you'll see a big picture of me with an H on, or the words high on my face, which is fantastic.
I didn't know what to do.
It's fine. It's the best photo ever taken of me, so you're happy. I'm happy you're using it. But everything else of me is bad. But anyway, yes, my art is involved, so I'm going to have some cool stuff to do with it. So if that piques your interest and you're like, oh, I like the music, but I like that even more, well, then you got a reason, even more reason to go over there and check it out.
I appreciate it, guys.
No problem. It's fantastic talking to you, man. Take it easy. Oh, Jason Howell on Twitter. Jason Howell on Twitter. Follow him there.
Yes.
Bunch of ding-dongs. Jason Howell.
It's pretty easy to find. My name.
We'll see you later, man. Thanks.
Right.
See ya.
All right.
Very cool. I really had no idea until this morning that he did music as well. I just knew him from it.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, did you hear that? Stuff. It's trippy, and that's my kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited for him, and I'm glad he was able to make it on here today. We're going to get out of here and come back tomorrow. That's our plan.
Okay.
And in that coming back tomorrow, that will include a visit with Wendy and Therapy Thursday. And all that. So the usual Thursday business, of course. Fridays are where we now do PM edition of the show at 1:30. So there's that to look forward to, and much, much more. Big night tonight, Core, and a bunch of stuff to talk about there. We got Hanzo on the PTR. It's gonna be a big deal for Heroes of the Storm players. So check that out.
Awesome.
And I think that's everything. And Coverville today. Don't forget 1:00.
Coverville today. Yep, 1:00, 1 PM Mountain Time, right here. Coverville.com/live. So right there. I shouldn't say here. But
yeah.
There.
Yeah, here, there, everywhere.
Everywhere.
all right. Well, as a preview to that, let's play a cover. What do you have?
Oh, I'm so happy to play this. Jeannie in our chat room in the Tadpool. It's her birthday today.
Woo!
Happy birthday, Jeannie. She's kind of like the unofficial chat mom. Like, she's always kind of managing things there, keeping track of things there. She's large. Well, she's in charge. She's not large. She's in charge.
She's large in a spiritual presence sort of way.
She's large in presence.
This is when I knew I liked Jeannie a lot. This is when.
I think it was because I was entering puberty.
That's when I knew.
That's when you knew.
Yeah.
That's right. That was it. So she wrote in, said, I've been sending in birthday requests since the first year of TMS. I'm running out of new requests. How about a ska cover or a calypso cover? There can never be enough ska and calypso. P.S. Please ask Scott to play the good theme, the original Skyhawk, which he did at the top of the show. So, absolutely. Yeah. Jeannie, you know, it's rare that I'll go the extra mile and find when somebody requests one of two things. It's rare that I'll try and find both things in one, but I've done it for you. And it's even from Japan. It's a Japanese band called the Swing Easy Orchestra. From their album, In the Mood for Ska Plays Punk New Wave Classics from 2011, here is a cover that incorporates both ska and calypso. You can tell it's calypso because they've got that steel drum thing. Doing a cover of the Thompson Twins' Hold Me Now.
Steel drum thing known as the steel drum.
Steel drum.
Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you all for being here. Go to frogpants.com/TMS for details. We'll see you then.
I have a picture painted on my wall. An image of you and of me. We were laughing and loving it all. But look at our life now. We're tired and torn. We fuss and we fight and too old.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Sex.